Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us begin with prayer. Almighty God, you have given to us the testimony of your love and your faithfulness. You have revealed yourself and given us a way to understand and live life in response to your mercy and compassion. Help us cherish the Holy Scripture as a precious gift, eagerly desiring to learn your written word and respond in obedient love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God. From Revelation to Genesis, from Genesis to Revelation, and everything in between, the beginning to the end, this is the Word of God. The Bible. Now, what does this mean? To say this, the Bible is the Word of God. For you, Christian, it means this. The Bible, the Scripture, and Scripture alone is the final authority in all things and is the foundation for Christian faith and Christian daily life, meaning both Christian doctrine and morals. In other words, I believe the Bible is the Word of God and has the right to command my belief and action. Men, perhaps you are like me. Men, are you like me? Instructions. Who needs them? Oh, don't bother me with the instructions. I know what I'm doing. I know how to put it together. Now, putting bicycles together or beds or assembling simple things, yeah, we can probably do without the instructions. But when the complexity of the items increases, you need instructions and perhaps even need the assembly manual. Are you familiar with a 1971 Triumph Spitfire? Little sports car and what they look like. That was my first car. And I did a ground-up rebuild on my Spitfire. Suspension, I took it apart. Body, I took it off the frame. Interior, completely pulled. Engine, I pulled the engine. I took apart the engine. Transmission, rear differential, those were basically the only two things I did not disassemble. Everything else was taken apart. I swapped out a frame to get a nice new straight frame. I welded new steel into where the old steel was rusted through. And I just put everything back together. I primed it. I painted it. I even made a dash out of cherry wood. Oh, it was a beautiful car. I bought it when I was in ninth grade, and boy, did I enjoy driving it when I was a senior in high school. It was gorgeous. Putting everything back together, but some of the important things is bolts. They must be tightened to a specific tightening strength. It's called torque. And I got my torque wrench out, and I made sure. And not only do you need to torque the head bolts of an engine to the right torque, you need to do it in a certain order or you mess it up completely. Well, I want you to tell you, I did drive that car. It ran fine, and I sold it when I went to seminary. But I had to have a shop manual to understand all the complexity of that four-cylinder engine. It was not a Chilton's manual. That doesn't get detailed enough. I got an actual shop manual to do the work. Now, living a Christian life is more complicated than torquing head bolts on an engine. Living a Christian life is more complicated than reading Sports Illustrated or Field and Stream or Outdoor Life can teach you about the outdoors. The only thing that will grow your Christian life is the Bible, the Word of God. You need to read the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. Sola Scriptura, that is Latin for Scripture alone. Sola Scriptura. Christian doctrine that the Bible is the supreme authority in all matters of doctrine and practice. What that means, it's the supreme authority over all aspects of faith and morals of daily life. This saying hails from the Reformation. Sola Scriptura was the rallying cry of the Reformation. This cry was return to the Word of God as the final authority of Christian doctrine and Christian faith in daily life. What had happened is over the years, the Roman Church had accumulated practices and positions that became tradition. And as a result, these traditions took on a life of their own over the years. And through the years, these traditions veered away from the witness of the Bible. How do you discern what traditions are faithful to the revelation of words of God's Word and what traditions are not faithful to the revelation and expression of God's Word? You turn to the Bible. The Scripture says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, all Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Teaching, rebuking, correcting, training, righteousness, equipped for every good work. Do you hear the molding and shaping function of Scripture? Do you hear the checking and stopping of error of the Scripture? Do you hear the guiding to what is proper, right, and true of the Scripture? Now, the greater challenge for this to happen in your life is that you need to know what the Word of God says. Martin Luther painstakingly, while in hiding, translated the New Testament into the German language so that the average, everyday person could read for himself the Word of God. Let's go back to that year, 1517. And indulgences are being sold. One of the rhymes of the time was, as soon as a coin in the coffer rings, a soul from purgatory springs. And that rhyme was spreading throughout Germany. Now you need to understand the peasants of Germany. They were so poor. They barely had money for food. Their faith now was being drawn into buying these indulgences, using money they really could not spare because they needed to buy food. Church tradition said these indulgences did exactly what they purported to do, release a soul from purgatory. Luther could not stand still and be quiet. From his reading of the Bible, going to the Scriptures, Luther came to understand that faith is to be in Christ and not some piece of paper that you could buy. The selling of indulgences had no basis in the Bible. The Scripture, no basis in the Word of God. What Luther was doing, he was judging the actions of the church by the Word of God. Judging the selling of indulgences by the Word of God, the Scripture. The Roman church was appealing to tradition, to sell them. Well, it is written in this and written in that. We can sell these things. Luther was appealing to the Word of God, pointing to the Scripture. The Word of God says nothing about selling indulgences. And Luther went on to say the selling of indulgences was wrong and the church had no authority to do such thing. And what it was doing, it was taking the faith of these Christians that were vexed and hopeless and had no place to turn and giving false hope that a coin could buy something, release from purgatory. Instead of turning and looking to Christ and his precious blood that bought perfect forgiveness and redemption. Luther came to know this. The selling of indulgences was wrong by reading the Word of God for himself. Most Christians never read the Bible. Many were illiterate. And so these Christians, these brothers and sisters in Christ, were dependent on the church to teach them God's truth. And here the church was giving false hope, false assurance in a piece of paper called indulgences. Luther said the church should point people to Christ, and Christ is to be their hope, and Christ is their forgiveness, and Christ is their redemption, not a piece of paper purchased for release from purgatory. It's the Bible, the Scripture, that contains the message of salvation in Jesus Christ. Along with clearly teaching why you need to repent and turn to Christ and believe. The Bible teaches the will of God, the morality of God, what is right and what is wrong in the eyes of the Lord. The Bible shows that there is sin, and all have fallen short, and we sin. But the good news that is there in the Bible is God does not leave you in your sin, lost in your sin. God is gracious. God is merciful. God is compassionate. And the Lord God has paid the price of redemption through the perfect blood sacrifice of the Son. Sin is completely forgiven in Jesus Christ. I know Jesus loves me because the Bible tells me so. There are five aspects to Scripture alone, sola scriptura, five aspects. First, the Bible is a revelation from God, and as such, it carries authority. What the Bible says is the same as God said. Number two, sufficiency of Scripture. What that means is the Bible contains all that is necessary for faith and practice and the final authority of our faith. You want to know about God? You want to know about the redemption through Jesus Christ? The Bible is sufficient to tell you all you need to know for your Christian faith. Authority of Scripture. Third, the Scripture possesses final authority over all doctrine and morals. However good something may seem, however noble the culture says this idea is, if it is contrary to the Scripture, it is immoral. The Bible says no. It means that God has said no. That's the authority of Scripture over all life. Number four, clarity of Scripture. The word they used was perspicuous. perspicuous is the word the Reformation used. And this is what it means: clearly expressed and easily understood. The Scripture clearly expresses things and is easy to understand so that the ordinary person reading the Bible can come to understand what the Bible is teaching. Read the Bible. The Apostle Paul was preaching Christ in Berea. In the synagogue, Paul proclaimed Christ, teaching all about the death and resurrection of Christ Jesus and how Jesus fulfilled the promise as Messiah. The Bereans listened, and they did something else too. It's recorded in Acts, the scripture, Acts chapter 17, verse 11. Now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness. And listen carefully to the next part, what they did. And examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. They heard Paul speak about Jesus as the Messiah, the Christ. They went and looked at the scriptures to examine them to see if it was true. And they found, yes, it was true. Read the scripture for yourself. See for yourself what the Bible says. It will speak clearly to you and change your life. Billy Graham pointed to a point in his life where he took the scripture to be the Word of God as the transforming point of his life and ministry. He was struggling with the Word. How can this be the Word of God when this and that, all these other things? But then he finally said, you know, I'm simply going to believe this is the Word of God. I may not understand it, but I'm going to take it as the Word. And his life was transformed. Reading the Bible, taking it as the Word of God, Billy Graham's life and ministry were transformed, and he became the man that you've seen and known for years. You, in your own life, it will do the same thing. Read the Bible for yourself. Take it as the Word of God, and it will change you, just as it did Billy Graham. Number five, interpretation of Scripture. The Bible is the best interpreter of the Bible. In other words, clear texts are used to interpret the ones that may not be so clear. For example, we hear 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is God-breathed, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting. So you can look through the Scripture and see how Paul made use of Scripture by quoting it. You can look through Scripture and see how Matthew used Scripture when he wrote the Gospel, or how John used Scripture when he wrote the Gospel, or Mark used portions of Scripture when he wrote Mark, and Luke too. And then you can look to Jesus and see how did Jesus quote the Scripture. And oftentimes it was to teach the Pharisees. They did this one portion. Yeah, it's good you're doing the law, but you've forgotten mercy. You've forgotten compassion. So Jesus was using Scripture to correct, rebuke, and correct the Pharisees and other leaders. How did Jesus and the others use Scripture? We'll give you the understanding of 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, that all Scripture is breathed by God, useful for teaching, correcting, training. Look through the Scripture and learn for yourself. Sola Scriptura is one of the five solas of the Reformation. And together they form the theological footing of the Reformation, the key to understanding, interpreting, and applying the Word of God in your life. These are the five solas. Sola Scriptura. solus Christus, sola gratias, sola fide, sola Deo gloria. Scripture alone, Christ alone, grace alone, faith alone, to the glory of God alone. In the coming weeks, we'll look briefly at the other four, but the journey begins here. Sola Scriptura, Scripture alone. This is the Word of God. Christian, for you, this means the Bible, the Scripture, and the Scripture alone is the final authority in all things. It is the foundation of your Christian faith. It is the guidance of your Christian daily life. The Bible is the authority over all your life, financially, morally, spiritually, all that makes up your life as a child of the Father, redeemed by the Son, and filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible is the Word of God. The best way to summarize what this means is another children's song, and I invite you to sing with me. The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. Now with conviction. The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. Now, if you really believe these things, read the Bible. If you really believe these things, study the Bible. If you really believe these things, memorize the Bible. Put it in your heart. Meditate them. Stand firm on them and never be ashamed of them. This book, the Bible, the Scripture, contains the Word of truth, and it contains the Word of life. This is the Word of God, and the redeeming gospel of Jesus Christ is found in this and this alone. Your salvation is found in these words. Your redemption and adoption as a child of God is found in these words. And the assurance of everlasting life in the kingdom of heaven because of what Christ has done is found in the words of Holy Scripture. The Bible is the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Amen.